Beacon Press Audio presents Transformation, The Movement to Free Us from Factory Farming by Leah Garces. This audiobook is narrated by Aaron Bennett. Published by Beacon Press Audio, 2024. Dedicated to Beau, Henrietta, and Elsie, and all who suffer at the hands of factory farming. Better days are coming. Introduction. In the spring of 2014, I found myself sitting across from a man who was, by every definition, my enemy. His name was Craig Watts, and he was a chicken factory farmer, raising chickens for slaughter. My career is devoted to protecting farmed animals and ending factory farming. Until that point, I'd spent my whole life working against everything Craig Watts stood for. Now I was sitting in his living room. As I sat there, a thousand questions were swirling in my mind. I'd been trying for years to get footage from inside a chicken factory farm at a time in our country when seeing inside a chicken farm was, and still is, nearly impossible. I'd failed every previous attempt. That day, I'd driven from my home in Atlanta to Craig's home in rural North Carolina. Before I left, I gave my husband the address and told him, "If I don't come back, look for me rotting away in the chicken litter." I was convinced I was heading into an ambush, not knowing my life would soon be changed forever. Prior to our meeting, Craig Watts had been raising chickens for 22 years in factory farms for Purdue, the fourth largest chicken company in the United States. When Craig was a young adult, he had searched for a way to stay on the land that had been passed down in his family for five generations, in one of the poorest counties in North Carolina. There were very few jobs in the area, so when Purdue came to town and offered him a contract to raise chickens, it sounded like a dream come true. He took out a $200,000 loan from the bank to build the chicken houses, while Purdue agreed to pay him for each flock he raised. With that money, he planned to pay off the loan as you would a mortgage. But soon the chickens started to get sick. It was a factory farm, after all. 25,000 chickens were stuffed wall to wall in darkened warehouses, living on their own feces, breathing air thick with toxic ammonia. Many of the sick chickens died, and you don't get paid for dead chickens. Craig started to struggle to pay off his loan. His paychecks got smaller, but the bills kept coming. Soon he wanted out, but he'd been trapped. Now he was all but an indentured servant, and if he stopped, he'd risk losing everything. By the time he and I met, Craig had reached a breaking point. His payments seemed never-ending, and so did the illness, death, and despair of the chickens. He was ready for a change. Through late afternoon conversations and much soul-searching, I realized that I had overlooked an ally. I learned that chicken factory farmers wanted to see factory farming change about as much as animal rights activists did. We had been overlooking each other all these years. Throughout the summer of 2014, I came back many times with my filmmaker partner Reagan Hodge to learn from Craig. I walked those warehouses as Craig explained the problems, as he picked up the chickens who had died or had to be killed because they had messed up legs, trouble breathing, difficulty walking. All of these horrors, all of our conversations were captured on film. In the winter of 2014, after months of filming and learning to trust each other, Craig and I did something neither of us expected to do. We decided to release the footage together. This was a huge risk. He feared losing his income, his land, and having his neighbors hate him. But he did it anyway. The New York Times broke the story. Within 24 hours, 1 million people had seen our video about the horrors of chicken factory farming. Our story went viral. Suddenly, we had a megaphone. our unlikely alliance put the truth about factory farming on a global platform. Too often, we become so entrenched in our values, in our fight, that we don't stop to consider what we might have in common with the so-called opposition. We jump straight to the differences. And it is often the tyranny of small differences that holds progress hostage. Craig was the very first chicken factory farmer I ever connected with, but there would be many more. In the United States, we still hold close an image of a quaint, independent family farm. But what actually exists is industrial animal agriculture, a system that does more harm than good. If you cross the country, no matter what state you are in, you'll find a similar story. There is a person in a poor rural county who is searching for a way to stay on the land that had been passed down in their family for generations, searching for a way to make their living off the land and live out their version of the American dream, one in tune with nature and set to the soundtrack of crickets, cicadas, warblers, and chickadees. With few jobs around, the chicken industry's offer sounds like a dream come true. This farmer often ends up just like Craig. Meeting Craig would change my trajectory as an activist. We'd become close friends, collaborators, and conspirators in the decade that followed, working to dismantle factory farming piece by piece. We'd see that we'd been fooled. As Craig said, "We were red ants and black ants trapped in a jar. And then someone would shake the jar and we'd start fighting each other. But we'd never stop to question, who's shaking the jar? And I'd ask, why are we trapped in this jar?" The years ahead, we'd look to smash the jar and remove the shaker's power. We'd look to reform our food system away from industrial animal agriculture and remove the power of big animal agriculture, the great monopolies with strongholds over our political and economic systems. If humans tried to design a farming system that was horribly cruel, dirty, and unjust, we could not have come up with anything worse than factory farming. We inflict unquantifiable suffering on billions of sentient beings, many of them proven to be more intelligent than the companion animals we share our homes with. This normalized atrocity is something I've had to come to live with. I don't accept it, but I do endure it out of necessity. 80 billion land animals, excluding fish, shrimp, crabs, lobsters, and the like, come to live and die for our palates and preferences, in the most horrific conditions, those that would result in jail if the same were done to a dog or cat. Yet instead, it is simply the way business is done. That's not just a problem for the animals. Collectively, farmed animals emit more greenhouse gases than the world's planes, trains, and automobiles put together. A third of our precious arable land is used to grow feed for factory-farmed animals rather than food we humans could eat directly. We spray this land with immeasurable amounts of chemicals and cut down ecologically important habitats like rainforests, mostly notably right now with the clearing of the Amazon, all to feed and house animals on factory farms. Put simply, industrial animal agriculture is one of the most destructive industries on our planet. The way things are going, my children will never see a wild polar bear or elephant. In precisely my lifetime, the total number of birds, amphibians, mammals, and reptiles in the world has halved. One of the main culprits? Industrial animal agriculture. Added to that is the fact that this food system keeps farmers in soul-crushing debt, communities sick, and workers living in fear with little freedom. It truly is the most horrific system we could have come up with to deliver our calories. But one can't just smash a jar before thinking about solutions. What happens when you smash the jar? Where do we go from here? How do we rebuild a world of our own design? Craig and I had an idea, and we weren't the only ones. Around the country, fed-up farmers were starting to ask, what else?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?